What is interesting and what is almost unique, in other words, about the Dutch Republic, as it came to be called, is that its federal structure could resist absolutely everything which the King of Spain, at that time, the richest and most powerful monarch in all of Europe, could throw at it. And I think, having presented the paradox in those terms, we need to examine it a little bit more carefully to ask ourselves how to explain it. Why, in other words, did Parma's advance come to a halt? And I think there are three main reasons that we can advance. The first of these is just the intervention of foreign powers. Elizabeth I of England, who had long been a sympathizer and sometimes supporter of William of Orange, was really alarmed by Parma's conquest of Flanders and Brabant. She was further alarmed by a 1584 assassination plot against her in which Spain was clearly implicated. At least as unsettling, if not more so, to Elizabeth was the fact that there were seminaries in the Spanish Netherlands which were now training Jesuit priests who were being slipped into England in an effort to revive the Catholic population there and who were preaching against Elizabeth and attacking her legitimacy as monarch. In other words, what was going on in the Spanish Netherlands was perceived by England as a direct threat to the stability of its own crown. Therefore, in August of 1585, Elizabeth I of England signed a treaty, usually called the Treaty of Nonsuch, with the States General of Holland. She agreed to contribute 1,000 cavalrymen and about 6,400 infantry to the effort of the war against Spain. She also agreed to pick up roughly one quarter of the cost of the war against Spain, something like 300,000 ducats a year. The Treaty of Nonsuch, in other words, was an open declaration of war against Spain, and Philip II treated it as such. He reacted quite swiftly and confiscated almost all English shipping in Spanish ports. He furthermore ordered his ministers to prepare a feasibility study for an invasion of England. The outcome was the launching of the famous Spanish Armada in 1588. It was a huge undertaking. It consisted of a fleet of 130 vessels sailing from the ports of northwestern Spain and carrying 30,000 men. The idea was that these ships would sail up through the English Channel and land in Flanders. They would there link up with the Spanish Army of Flanders, headed by the Duke of Parma, and ferry a further 17,000 of his troops across the English Channel to England. As we all know, or at least as most of us know, it didn't work. A combination of English naval attacks and bad weather prevented both the juncture and the invasion. The Spanish Armada was repeatedly battered both by storms and by English cannons, and it actually had to get its way back to Spain the long way around. It had to sail all the way up the east coast of England, round Scotland, come down the west coast of Ireland, and get back to Spain the long way. Now, the defeat of the Spanish Armada has a kind of a special status in European history. It's often seen as marking, you know, the end of Spanish power or its replacement by English power. And this, it seems to me, is a real exaggeration for a number of fairly trivial reasons. The most obvious of which is it wasn't the first invasion fleet launched against England. In the years that would follow in the 1590s, Philip would send not one but actually two fleets to an attempt, in both cases unsuccessfully, to invade England. Moreover, in an effort which probably annoyed the English even further, Philip was very quick to try and support uprisings of the Catholic Irish in Ireland against English rule. And on a number of occasions, the Spanish sent advisors and even troops to Ireland in an effort to support their rebellion against England. Nevertheless, when all qualifications have been made, it seems to me we have to admit that the defeat of the Spanish Armada was a very serious blow, at least a moral blow. It punctured any kind of myth of Spanish invincibility and certainly revive the spirits of the rebels. The war with England, Spain's war with England, would then drag on for almost 20 years. Indeed, it would only be concluded in the year 1604. It diverted Spanish resources, it drained Philip's treasury, and it allowed aid to flow to the Dutch. Now, it should be said at the same time that the war with Spain also bankrupted Elizabeth. We hear an awful lot more about Philip II's bankruptcies than we do about the bankruptcies of the English crown. But for the purposes of the revolt of the Netherlands, it was, in a sense, a godsend. The second main feature behind the failure of the Duke of Parma's effort to reconquer the rebel north was the overcommitment problem which so often characterized the Spanish Empire. No sooner had the Armada fiasco taken place in 1588 then Philip II plunged the army of Flanders into the French Wars of Religion. Some of these details we've already reviewed in earlier lectures when talking about those Wars of Religion, because we know that in 1590, and again in 1591, the Duke of Parma was ordered to move into France and support the Catholic League, the French Catholic League, against Henry of Navarre.